Chapter 8. Chicago's club scene is wide and diverse. You want to listen to extemporaneous jazz? We got that. You want a traditional Irish pub? A Turkish-style coffee house? Belly dancers? Japanese garden party? Swing dancing? Ballroom dancing? Beat poetry? You're covered. You don't have to look much harder to find all sorts of other clubs, the kind that Ma and Pa tourists don't take the kids to. Gay clubs, lesbian clubs, strip clubs, leather clubs, and more subtle flavors within the genre. And then there's Zero. I stood with Thomas outside what looked like a fire exit door at the bottom of a stairway, a story below street level in the side of a downtown building. A red neon oval had been installed on the door, and it glowed with a sullen, lurid heat. The thump of a bass beat vibrated almost subaudibly up through the ground. "Is this what I think it is?" I asked him. Thomas, now dressed in a tight-fitting white T-shirt and old blue jeans, glanced at me and arched one dark eyebrow. "Depends on if you think it's Zero or not." Zero is one of those clubs that most people only hear rumors about. It moves around the city from time to time, but it's always as exclusive as a popular night spot in a metropolis can possibly be. I'd been a PI in Chicago for better than a decade. I'd heard of Zero, but that was it. It was where the rich and beautiful and rich people of Chicago went to indulge themselves. "You know somebody here?" I asked. "Because they aren't going to let us." Thomas popped a key into the lock, turned it, and opened the door for me. "In," I finished. A wash of heat and smoke, heavy with legally questionable substances, pushed gently against my chest. I could hear the whump, whump, whump of techno dance music somewhere behind the red-lit smoke. "It's a family business," Thomas explained. He put the keys back in his pocket, an odd expression on his face. "I met Justine at Zero." "There any more of the other side of the family in there?" I asked him. White court vampires were the least physically dangerous of any of the various vamps running around, and the most scary. Creatures of seduction, they fed upon the emotions and life energy of those they preyed upon. Their victims became addicted to the act and would willingly offer themselves up over and over until eventually there was nothing left to give. The poor suckers enthralled to a white court vampire were virtually slaves. Tangling with them, in any sense of the word, is a bad idea. Thomas shook his head. "I doubt it. Or Justine wouldn't have chosen it to meet us here." "Unless she'd been forced to do so," I thought to myself. I didn't say anything. I like to stay cozy with my paranoia, not pass her around to my friends and family. "After you," Thomas said, and then he calmly stripped his shirt off. I eyed him. "The club has an image they strive to maintain," he said. He might have been just a little bit smug, the bastard. His abs looked like they were added in with CGI. My abs just look like I can't afford to feed myself very well. "Oh," I said. "Do I need to take my shirt off, too?" "You're wearing a black leather coat. That's wardrobe enough." "Small favors," I muttered. Then I went through the door. We walked down a hallway that got darker, louder, and more illicitly aromatic as we went. It ended at a black curtain, and I pushed it aside to reveal a few more feet of hallway, a door, and two politely formidable-looking men in dark suits standing in front of it. One of them lifted a hand and told me, "I'm sorry, sir, but this is a private..." Thomas stepped up next to me and fixed the man with a steady, gray gaze. He lowered his hand, and when he spoke, it sounded rough, as if his mouth had gone dry.
Excuse me, sir. I didn't realize he was with you."
Thomas kept staring. The bouncer turned to the door, unlocked it with a key of its own, and opened the door.
"Will you be in need of a table, sir? Drinks?"
Thomas's unblinking gaze finally shifted from the guard, as if the man had somehow vanished as a matter of any consequence. My brother walked by him without saying anything at all. The bouncer gave me a weak smile and said, "Sorry about that, sir. Enjoy your evening at Zero, sir." "Thanks," I said, and followed my brother into a scene that split the difference between a Dionysian bacchanal and a Fellini flick.